We wait until 7 and it's 5-2, but if that big busload breaks down outside, we'll just shuffle up a wee bit and tell them they missed the first song. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this time we've been able to gather together, and I pray you please your good hand upon us all. Please bless our time in your house and around your word, and I pray you, Lord, please that you'd find our prayers and praises acceptable in your sight. Bless the service, Lord. More importantly even, Lord, lead the service. Pray for Brother Stan and the folks in Bangor too, for Christy and Mark in Mexico. Please look after them. For anywhere, Lord, where your man is prepared to stand and to preach the full counsel of your word, I pray your good hand upon him, Lord, and upon those that hear. Please be one of our number, Lord. Please just go up and down the hall and speak to us during the course of the service, in the reading, in the singing, in the fellowshipping, or in the preaching. Lord, please work in our hearts and minds. And I pray you, Lord, you'd find some hearts and minds open and ready to do business with. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for your Son. Thank you, Lord, for the free gift of everlasting life and the free will to accept it. We just ask this, of course, for our private prayer requests and petitions, all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Let's take our black hymn books, if you would, and turn to hymn number 14. Hymn number 14 is How Deep the Father's Love. You do. Technical issues.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of sin, sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers.
Switch books and go to hymn number 55. Have to stand when you sing when the roll is called up yonder, so let's do that. Hymn number 55,
when the robe is called up yonder.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more, and the morning brings eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen. You may be seated. Well,
thank you, Mother.
Turn tonight in our reading to Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should abide in the lust thereof. Now ye do your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to ye obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruits unto holiness and the end everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Just want to draw your attention to the little pumpkin orange, I think I called it this morning.
Terracotta.
I mean pink. Terracotta, pumpkin, dark pink, whatever you want to call it. It's, the date at the top is the important part, 18th, the weekend and the 18th and weekend and the 25th, that's what this is for. The only one that is not there that will is Frank is going to be heading back to
England.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Right. Frank is... Excuse me, it's under travel. Frank is going to be travelling back to London next Sunday, and he will be continuing on with his education there. Christy and Mark are in Mexico. They had an interesting, I think must have been pretty much nearly 24 hours of travel and sitting in airports. They went from here to Paris and from Paris to Cancun, is it? So that is some amount of travelling. So please do pray for them. I think they're both intending to work. Would you believe? Who would have thought you could go to Cancun and still do your day's work on the far side of the world? But I think whenever it's mostly laptop or internet work or computer work, they will be able to do a lot of work. So do please pray for them if you would. I'd also like to draw your attention to private prayer requests, and please remember those. I know many times those are very personal and sometimes they run very deep. The Lord knows what they are and we don't have to, but do please pray for those. Everybody has a name there, so I know everybody has private prayer requests. Please do pray for John. As you know, he wasn't feeling the best the past couple of days and he's still not 100%. Whatever he's trying to do to himself or whatever Stephen's trying to do to him, pray for John that he recovers from that. It's not fun having a bad stomach, and I hope never to have one, at least not for a very, very, very long time again. The last one I had nearly sorted me right out. So do pray for John. As far as all the rest of it goes, all the other details are there. Does anybody have any other prayer requests? Is there anything else anybody wants prayer for? Don't forget Stephen's granddaughter's friend, Ellie Powley, who was badly injured in a hit and run a couple of weeks back. Take it you haven't heard anything else about her.
She's still not well at all.
Well, she'll be in hospital for months maybe, but please do pray for her.
Pray for Marie too. She's going to have some tests done for she's... What's that imbalance that you can be dizzy? You can't go tight.
Vertigo.
She's got that and it's getting a bit worse.
Oh.
And she was at the doctor's and the doctor asked her to walk a straight line. Marie couldn't. She had to hold on to the doctor to do it.
Oh dear.
She's sending it for tests and she's a lump on her heel as well. They won't be looking.
Oh goodness. Sort of like...
But she's laughing her head off day to the doctor having to hold her. She walks straight line.
Sort of buy one, get one free sort of a thing.
Balance, you know.
That's not so good. That's not so good. Well, that's Pat's wee sister. Wee sister Marie. Pray for Marie. Amen. I think that's about that then, isn't it? If there's nobody else, is anything else we need to be thinking about or praying about, is it? Excellent. Well, you're up, brother. Would you lead us? Yes, we have that at the back, I think. Put my glasses on just to make sure. Thanks for blessings and answered prayer.
Do I have to?
Pardon?
Remind you every Sunday.
Well, it's there. Just see it there.
Don't worry about that.
No, why? Well, you keep me right. If I step off the straight and narrow with the book, you correct me.
I've got a right hand just for you.
But likewise, if you step off the straight and narrow, I'll correct you. So, right. You pray for us well, and then we'll sing another song.
Oh, Father, thank you this night, Lord. Thank you for bringing us into your presence tonight, Lord. Come for a number of this. He's never had this represented, Lord. He's never had this covered as well, Lord. Be with us this night, Lord, and give Mark a touch of the Spirit, Lord, to talk to us about the mysteries of the gospel, Lord, to make it plain to us, Lord, and make it plain to us in our lives, Lord, and how we can apply it, Lord, and how we can tell others to your love, Lord, and Lord, talk about salvation, Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, thank you for getting us here, Lord, but pray for all the other ministers that are saved, Lord, and talk the full counsel of the word through this man in front of the world, Lord. And Lord, especially with the Collins, the Haynes, Aspers, the Bissets, and the Sealys, and Lord, pray for them also, Lord, and also almost we can remember from all the denominations that are saved, Lord, and saved blood by the blood of the Lamb, Lord. This night, Lord, give Mark the gospel, Lord, and they divide it properly, Lord, and then we may listen to it, Lord, and sort open our hearts for our lives. Jesus Christ, again,
amen. Amen.
Just one read now.
Yes, Steve, go on ahead.
My soul prayed for Pat, that she has all the blessings given her tomorrow on a special day.
27, Pat? Pat, 27.
Plus
shipping.
I would just take the 27.
That makes me 27.
At the rate you're going, you're like a dog with all your birthdays during the year. You must be like 350 or something round about.
I can't tell if I've happened more than one name.
You're counting the Queen, the public holiday, or the public birth and the unofficial birth.
Yeah, you have the same day. That's official. That's important.
Yeah.
You got your birthday, and you
have
a few other birthdays.
Yes, and that's the ones that we will not mention in church.
No.
Would you be able to play hymn number 17 for us, Mrs. Bradfield? Hymn number 17 in the wee black books. On a hill called Calvary, Jesus, my Lord, suffered for me, carried the cross all the way, my sins to atone. Then they nailed him to the cross. Great was the pain, great was the loss. He suffered it all because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died on the cross, was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loves me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me. Man. On the third and glorious day, God came and rolled the stone away. He rose from the dead because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died on the cross, was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loves me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me. Amen. Now, I have a question. I'm almost certain I picked four hymns, or there were four hymns given. We've done three. Was it number four?
No. Yeah, it was number four.
That's number four. That's grand. Yeah. Will we sing it? Let's do that. We'll stand and sing number four in the black book. Holy, holy, holy. After you. Seated. If anybody has a hymn that they would really like for us all to sing at the end of the service, just bear that in mind, and we will sing it at the end of the service, which is not now, but at the end. We are going to be looking at, if you're, goodness, I'm going to have to put my glasses on, 2 Chronicles 34. 2 Chronicles 34, we're going to be spending a little bit of time doing a little bit of history and a little bit of Bible study on the littlest king in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. It's called the littlest king, and you'll find out why very, very shortly. And I want for you to understand that even, we're going to read this whole chapter, yep, all 33 verses of it, and I hope and pray you see that even though these things were taking place 3.5, maybe nearly 4,000 years ago, that people haven't changed a bit, and there's still a lot to be learned from how people interact with the Lord God. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. This is about the littlest king. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the left hand nor, to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them, and strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali with their mattocks round about. When he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah the governor of the city, and Joah the son of Joahaz the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought unto the house of God, which the Levites had kept, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the land of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and builders gave they it, to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings, and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites, of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam of the sons of the Kohathites, to set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music, Also they were over the bearers of burdens, that were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service, and of the Levites there were scribes and officers and porters. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king, and brought the king word back again, saying, All that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it unto the hands of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. And Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Abdon the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, a servant of the king's, saying, Go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in the book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tekphah, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. And they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell ye the man that sent you to me. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof. Even all the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king of Judah. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place, and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. And the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Amen. We're having a word of prayer. Steve, are you okay to pray for us?
Sure.
You lead us then, if you would.
Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for this day, Lord, and for being here this night, Lord, in your presence, among the assemblies of brethren. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you keep to your promise for two or three gathered in your name, that there you will be also. Lord, let us feel your presence upon us, that the Holy Spirit be with us, Lord. And Lord, as we hear the sermon of your word, that you grant us a deeper understanding and the portions of wisdom that we need for us to take it in hand, Lord, and apply it to our lives. Bless your servant Mark as he brings us your word, Lord. Bless him and give him the words to speak to us, Father. Let it be to chastise us or to give us blessing, Lord. Either way, Lord, we know that when we receive it, we know because you love us. We love you for your first love, Lord, Father. And Lord, that we just hope, Lord, that we can keep in strength and faith and holding on to you, to keep the eyes upon the road and the cross, Lord. I ask, Lord, if you will, just bless Brother Christopher and Mark in Mexico, Lord, that you would just be with them and put a barrier of safety around them, Lord. Lord, just keep them well till we get to where the destination is. And bring them back, please, happy and safe at the appointed time. I ask you, Lord, that you bless Israel as well, Father, that you grant peace in Jerusalem. Lord, that you will grant all the blessings that they need, your children, the Jews. Lord, that my deepest desire is that you would save them, Lord, for the fully appointed time. I ask for all souls that search me, that have heard the sermon of your word, Lord, here and around the world, Father. Lord, that they would be reminded of your word, and Lord, they would turn to you in times of trouble, especially this COVID pandemic, Lord. The souls would turn to you and ask, Lord, for you to save them, and they would be saved. Bless our world leaders, Lord. Give them sense where there is none, Lord. Lord, let our countries once again put you first to become Christian countries. Lord, be with the Queen as she mourns the loss of her loved one, Prince Philip, and the family as well, Lord. Please, Lord, just bless them, comfort them, those that are known as you promised. Bless are they that know them and be comforted. Please, Father. Oh, Lord, and many people who've lost loved ones, Lord. Let them think on their eternities, Father. Lord, draw them near to you, Father. Let them feel your presence and they save them. Be all those who are sick and in need, Lord, and be with Esther, she's on her own, Lord. Lord, be with her, put her strength and her comfort as well. All these things I lay at the cross, Father, for you to grant the petitions and prayers, Lord, as you see fit, and according to your will. In Jesus' name, please, I ask these things, and give thanks, praise, and glory to you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Amen. That's feels like a slightly longer than usual Bible reading, but I just noticed that most of the verses have about four or five lines in them, but they tell a very interesting story. The Littlest King, as you saw whenever we opened up here, is about Josiah, who was 8 years old whenever he took the throne of Judah. Now, there's a lot of very sad news in there. Verse number 11, very, very sad news when the kings of Judah, they were the ones which were responsible for destroying the churches, the synagogues in the land. And you know what? The more that we read about these things, the more that we, goodness, if you'd have to be blind, not to see it starting to happen in our country and in other countries around the world even now. A little bit of background. Josiah's dad and granddad, that's Manasseh and Hezekiah, were both bad boys. And I do believe God cut their lives short because they did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. They were so bad that Manasseh's own servants, if you look at verse 24, just a verse or two prior to our first verse, his own servants actually went and killed him. He was that bad. This was the king of Judah. He was so wicked, his own servants killed him. And sadly, all the people in the land went and killed them, but Josiah ended up being the king. He had two generations of very, very poor examples on how to rule the people. Up until Josiah became king, they would worship devils in wee groves. The wee grove is like a wee hollow, if you like, in the woods or something somewhere. And they would set a wee altar up and they would burn sacrifices or they would pray there and they would carve statues and they would set them up. You know what? Sounds a bit like Ireland, with their wee groves, and their wee statues, and their wee places to burn things. And they're very good at doing that, but they're very poor at burning them down and getting themselves saved and into the house of the Lord. Here we have a wee fella. Now, he didn't get to be there all by himself, and I'm reminded of one of the other kings, I think in 2 Chronicles, I think it's 22, and we'll be thinking about him another day. He obviously had somebody looking after him, but someone that was pointing him in the right direction. Because 8 year olds, they really don't know their left hand from their right hand. However, don't forget how young Samuel was whenever the Lord started working with him, 7 or 8 years old as well, speaking directly to him. And the word of God, as they said, was precious in Samuel's day, and none of it was let fall to the ground. But here we see, he obviously had enough of an education as a child to know what his father, his great-great-great-great-grandfather, David, the way he behaved. Does anyone remember one of the names of David was the apple of God's eye? David was greatly beloved by God. And greatly blessed by God. Like, there's not too many people, I think. There's only one or two other men in the whole of the Bible were able to take wild animals and kill them one-on-one combat. And he did that with a lion and a bear. He was loved and preserved by God and blessed. And even whenever he committed adultery with Bathsheba and brought shame to the nation of Judah, he still went to heaven. And God still used him and Bathsheba and Bathsheba's son Solomon, second son, to make a great difference in the world. Josiah started changing things. He obviously knew something was bad when he saw or heard of how bad his dad was and how the servants that were trying to do the right thing killed him. He was that bad. He started doing things like David did. And it gives you basically a list. And I want for you to, if we just have a wee read at this, he says he broke all the altars that were set up to Baal, and all the devil worshiping altars. And it says that he strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed. He went and I think he had killed all the devil worshippers. And he desecrated their graves with the ashes of what was left of all of their altars. He was going in the right direction. And there's many times the kings of Judah, if you read the book of Kings, you can get a litany of the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel, and goodness, how bad they were many times. Even the ones that were supposed to be good kings, the kings of Judah, the godly line, some of them were downright evil as well. And encouraging people to offer their children up as burnt sacrifices. The fruit of the womb that God blesses people with. Imagine killing that so that you can have a little bit of an easier life. Do you know what? Have we changed any? We certainly haven't. And that's something worth praying about. There is a movement on at the moment to eject that law from Northern Irish law. So please do pray about that. Things are happening in the country. He broke up the groves. It talks about the metal images were ground into powder and they were thrown this way and that way. And it says, in the 18th year of his reign, so that would have made him about 26. So 26 years later after he started following, or 18 years after he was crowned king, his sights turned to the church. And when we're talking about a church, you're not talking about a place like Bethel. You're talking maybe one big synagogue where hundreds upon hundreds and maybe even thousands of people could be in. And his eyes turned to the church, to the synagogue. Because the previous kings had left it destitute. And we know that, does anybody remember a fella by the name of Eli? He mentioned him earlier on. He was Samuel's teacher. And Eli was the high priest of the people, but he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And they were as wicked as all get out. They would have been committing immoral relations with the women that used to come to the church. And in the end of it all, God killed the both of them and their dad in the same day because he refused to straighten them out. And here we have the churches literally up until this point run by men by this, or in fact maybe not even run at all. The doors were closed and people just weren't interested. So Josiah said, fix the church. And there was money that was kept by the priests. The priests were still about. I'm sure they were greatly persecuted. And maybe a lot of their worship was done underground. But the king said, let's get the house of the Lord cleaned up. And he said, have you any money? And they said, we have. And he said, get to it. The Bible records that they were faithful in their work. They weren't counting the pennies, and they were trusted enough that they didn't need an account of all the monies that were spent on wood and stone and all of those things. And they kept going. And as they kept going, they found an old book. An old book, the book of the law. That would be, does anyone know the first five books of the Bible? After three, we'll say them together. Genesis, 1, 2, 3. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And those five books of the Bible, God commanded kings to write themselves out a copy. And anybody that has ever taken any time with a pen and paper to write out verses of the scripture, know the blessing of slowly going over God's word and having to think about it three or four times as you write it down. If you read a verse of scripture, like we read 30 something odd verses of scripture there, does any particular verse stand out to anybody? Does anybody remember any verse? And I think unless you've spent time in this portion of God's word, you won't. You'll remember the gist of the story. I hope you remember a few of the prophets' names, because some of them were tongue twisters. I was just thinking of Pat as I was reading some of them there. All the names that were of the priests and things like that. And I was thinking, I hope I can get this right. Or I'll look up and I'll see Pat laughing at me. And you read it once and it's away. But if you have to take time to write it down, you have to read it. And then you start writing. And then maybe you have to go back and read it again because you didn't remember it correctly. And as you're writing it, your brain is instructing your hands not only to listen and to remember, even if it's only for 10 or 15 seconds, to write down what you've just read. And so you will read it two or three times, but you'll also process it and write it down again. And it's a great way to learn the scriptures. But anyway, they found the book. And things were so bad in Judah that this custom, this command from God had not gotten to Josiah. He had not had time. I am sure Manasseh never wrote it down, and neither did his dad Hezekiah, I think it was. They never wrote it down because it would have stuck in their heart and it would have convicted them about their sin. And he was gobsmacked. Because he knew, he had personal experience of all of the things that went on in the king's chambers that caused the country to go to rack and ruin. He had personal experience. He knew what his dad had been up to. He may even have known what his granddad was up to as well. He may have sat in there and listened whilst they organized the persecution and maybe even the execution of God's men. He may have, in his childlike faith, seen the difference between his dad and the stories of David. A man after God's own heart, the apple of God's eye, the killer of the lion and the bear, the destroyer of Goliath, the winner of many battles. I'm sure he read about the one time the great shame that he brought, but also of the great things that he did for his country. And he decided to be like that because David brought in, at least it was a whole generation of peace on every hand whenever his son Solomon took the throne. The things that David did brought God's favor and blessing. The things that Manasseh and the things that I think it was Hezekiah were doing brought death and immorality and great spiritual wickedness into the land. He thought, I'm going to do it like David did, and I'll start by getting rid of all the devil worshippers and their altars. And then he found the book. Now, I don't know how it is or was for you when you got saved. I got saved and I knew nothing except the old stories about Noah and maybe Moses parting the Red Sea. And Jesus and some of the parables. And Joseph and his coat of many colors. Everybody knows that. But when I started reading the Word of God, and I started in the book of Matthew, and I started coming across verses that spoke directly to me, I sat up and took notice. I started thinking, hold on a wee second. I've been doing what Jesus said I shouldn't be doing. I think maybe it's about time I sorted myself out. And so I started doing that. I started trusting in the Lord and doing things His way. I lost a lot of friends, a lot of acquaintances, a lot of opportunities. It's amazing how few opportunities you have when you're not prepared to sell your integrity, whenever you're prepared to drink, or when you're not prepared to drink, just how many job opportunities don't go your way. Josiah rent his clothes and he wept. Now, I am almost certain that certain clothes were built with a weak seam in them, so you could rend them. They literally took them and tore them like that, and that was the Bible commanded that the priests and commanded the kings, they were not to rend their clothes. They were not to appear naked to anybody that was following them whatsoever. But King Josiah, only a young fella, he would have been about the age of Christy, if Christy was here. He rent his clothes and he wept because he realized that it wasn't just the things that his dad and his granddad done. They weren't just paying for them. The whole country was about to pay for them. God was about to bring a curse and judgment on the whole nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. And he realized. And with no expectation of forgiveness, he cried unto God. And then he sent one of his men, go and speak to Huldah the prophetess. Things were so bad that there were no prophets in the country. There was just a prophetess. And it is not very often that you will find a woman standing in a place of authority in the Bible. Does anybody remember, know any other prophetesses in the Bible?
Only the New Testament.
There was Deborah. That was the Old Testament. But I know the one you're talking about that was in the synagogue whenever they brought Jesus to show him in the synagogue. Very, very few. The men were that persecuted or absolutely missing. There were none to stand for God. He was heartbroken. And I am sure maybe a little bit terrified as well for the judgment that God would bring. The one thing I will say about him, he was teachable. He was workable. He was prepared to stand up and take notice, especially whenever God called. And the prophetess said, this is what God said. He is going to give Israel such a kicking. He is going to beat the living daylights out of Israel for the generations of wickedness that they have countenanced. Because I want for you to know something. Whenever the king went a certain way, the people tended to follow. Because it is amazing how quickly that the king started to do evil and it spread throughout the whole land. Maybe a lot of that was at the point of a sword, I don't know, but the people seemed to be very, very weak-willed. Huldah the prophetess said, I'm going to punish them. Every single thing that you have done that the kings have made the people to do, the people are going to pay for, but, One man stood in the gap, and because he showed himself to be repentant and he was prepared to listen to God, God said, but not in your lifetime, king, because you have shown yourself to be ready to be taught, to be ready to live and to work and to go for me. You're going to go to your grave in peace, and then the judgment is going to fall. There's a whole bunch of things that you could learn from there. The one thing is you need to be careful whenever the leaders of your country start to oppose God, start to oppose Christianity. Because it's not too long after that that all the benefits of Christianity, which enable such a leader to rise to that position, once they're gotten rid of, it's every man for himself. There's no rules. There's no gentility. There's no teaching of what's right and what's proper. It's every man for himself. So always be careful. In fact, we live in these days. I could be reading in the newspaper basically today, unfortunately. If you want to get things right, if you want to start living for God, it's not up to us to burn all the churches that are certainly not Christian. It is up to us to tend to our own gardens. It is up to us to take to our lives like Josiah did to his country. And to take away the things that will direct us away from God. And to what does the Bible say? To abstain even from the very appearance of evil. Things that we say, things that we do, places that we go, that people could say, hold on a second, I saw you coming out of the off license. I saw you holding a bottle of this. I saw you wired out of your mind on drugs. We're not supposed to do any of those things. We're not supposed to use bad language. We're supposed to mind our company. Because evil communications corrupt good manners. We're supposed to be careful about the things we put into our eyes. The things that we see even day by day. We should cry, my goodness, unto God about those. Because even walking in a magazine rack in a family store can be risky business. We are charged with sorting our own lives out. We are charged with pulling all the weeds. And we are charged with feeding ourselves and walking and talking with God and showing ourselves to be properly sorry for naught. And as you read the Bible and you are commanded to read and to study and to memorize and to apply and to preach the Bible, whenever it applies to you or me, we're supposed to make that happen in our lives. Now, I don't know all of the things that go on in your lives. I have enough trouble keeping track of everything that goes on in my life. But as you read the Bible and you come across the things that God wants to speak to you about, friends, it's like God walking up to you in the hall. I'll use my wife as an example. Because I'm not going to sit beside Will and put my arm around him. And putting his arm around you and just saying, Monica, I've got a wee job for you. There's something that you need to sort out. You would be better making my favourite meal at least once every week.
I know.
From here. I mean, once every day. But whatever it is, this is why we come to church, because I know for a fact I am not going to get chastening at home. Let's be honest, if we start to read a bit that makes us feel uncomfortable, what do? We flip that page over out of the way. Instead of saying, you know what, God, thank you. Thank you for showing me that. Thank you for taking me, just you and me, for putting your arm around me, for speaking to me softly, and for telling me, just you and me, not in front of everybody else, but there's something I need to sort out in my life. Because guess what? Josiah was an ignorant 8-year-old. He probably needed a paddling more than he needed anything else. Here we sit in church. He had like the 5 books of the Bible. 5 books of the Bible. We have the other 61 and the teachings of God as he walked and talked among us. We should certainly be able to do what Josiah did in our own lives. We don't have armies of people to organize. We don't have to rebuild the church. We'll probably have to rebuild a bit of the church. But each one of us has the power over our own lives, don't we? We need to take these examples. They're not about us, but they're certainly for us. And we need to walk and talk with God. And God will give you the same promise. Someday, we will be with him. Someday, every single one of us is going to be with him, in front of him. The lost are going to stand in front of him for judgment. And the saved are going to stand in front of him for a great welcome. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. But every single one of us is going to stand in front of God. And I want to stand in front of him as a friend. I want him to be a mentor, a helper to me in this life. And that I can say to him when I see him, thank you. Thank you for saving me, and thank you for all the days that you took time to help me. For all of the angels that you sent to keep me going, I am sure I accounted for quite a few of them. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to be standing in front of him like the great white throne of judgment in Revelation 20. Dead in trespass and sins, naked with my sins there for all the world of other lost souls to see, waiting for my name to be called out before I'm thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever, hoping that I hit the beast and the antichrist and the false prophet on the way in, because if I don't, I'm going to swim towards them and give them a good duffin for all the harm they caused me. I don't want to be there, and I don't want anybody else that I know to be there either. So be like King Josiah and be ready to repent and learn. Regardless of what anybody has done before. Doesn't matter what your dad did or your mom did. Be the son or the daughter of the King of Kings and see what he can do with you. He did an amazing thing. He made an incredible change. And the people benefited from it all the time that he was king. I know it seems like a chore to live for Jesus sometimes. When you're continually having to say no, when you've got all these little voices yapping in your ear about, let's go drinking, let's go partying, did you hear this dirty joke, blankety blank this and blankety blank that. And you have to keep saying no, 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 no. And people walk away and don't come back because that's all that they want to do and they don't want to hear about Jesus. The Lord can make a powerful difference in your life if you let him. If you welcome him in, if you assist him, think what a difference the Lord can make in your life. In fact, we've spent a bit of time in Romans 8 today. A few verses have been mentioned there. He said, all things work together for good to them that love God, that's saved people, to them that are the called according to his purpose, that's obedient people. That's his promise to you and I. Instead of wandering through this world lost and running from pillar to post, you can know you're going the right direction, you have the noblest of purposes, and you will have pleased God. And let's be honest, it's him you're going to have to deal with for the endless ages of eternity. Not your mates, not the government, and not anybody else that sets themselves up as an authority in this world. I think I shared this morning, but I'll share it again. It is a noble purpose, is the single most important thing for anybody in the world to have. Because without a purpose, nothing, there's no point. And the greatest of purposes is the seeking and saving of lost souls. I have seen people without a purpose, and it's not a pretty sight. It's heartbreaking, and I wouldn't want that for anybody. Doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, your education, the color of your skin, your language. Your souls and all of those vicinities needing saved. Maybe they're just needing for you to tell them about Jesus. That's the most noble of purposes. And that's there for all of us. Not just the littlest king. Not just David. For each and every soul on the face of the earth. So be like him and see Jesus make a difference in your life. Amen. We're stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Let's sing a song and then we're done. Somebody mentioned 40. In the book. Steve, I'm happy to sing it if you come up and lead it. Someone give me a sensible song to sing.
That's a sensible song to sing.
Oh, wait,
278.
Jesus is calling.
Yep, that'll work. Let's stand and sing Jesus is calling. I better get my glasses back on again. 278. Jesus is calling. Let's stand as we sing. See each one of you here. If you just remain standing, we'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this time in your house. I pray that you would work in each one of our hearts. And not ours only, Lord, but in every soul in this country that has heard the gospel. Please bring it to their attention. Please convict them of sin and judgment to come. Bless us as we go our separate ways, as we drive home. And I pray, Lord, most importantly, for your will to be done. Let us be mindful of doing your will every moment of every day. We love you and thank you. And thank you for answered prayers too, Lord. Private prayer requests for our missions, outreaches and all the missions outreaches in the world and all the preachers of your word, Lord. Bless and keep and protect and provision, especially in these dark days. We ask all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you, and thank you again. Amen.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you,
Pat.